why didn't God gift me that way? I got other stuff, but hey, man, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. They're my neighbors, so I could brag on them a little bit. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I'll claim you. I'll claim you. Oh, thanks, man. How are we doing this morning? We have a bold task ahead of us to combine sharing the vision that I have for our youth, to celebrate and encourage fathers, and to continue in our series out of Proverbs 3. Let's see how we do. I wanted to start this morning kind of just with that vision portion. There are lots of exciting things, and in one way, it's really awkward to talk about vision for 2019 in June, because half of the year is gone. So I guess today is kind of a celebration slash anticipation of what is to come. And so to do this, I wanted to pull up a couple pictures, and they might be difficult to see, but let's go ahead and bring that first one up, Ron. Things that I'm excited about. This picture has so much in it that you wouldn't know if you just saw the picture itself, and so I wanted to kind of break it down a little bit for you today. And I should have brought my laser pointer, but if you look at the person furthest to the left, sitting next to the blonde kid, you might recognize him. Anyone know who that is? It's Josh Bridges. So why am I excited about Josh Bridges? Because he is our summer intern this summer. And he is hoping to come and be a blessing both to myself, our office, to our students, to grow in wisdom and knowledge, because God is preparing him to one day be a youth pastor. The second thing I'm excited about is this is one of our biggest Wednesdays of the year, having just over 80 students attend a Refuge event. And what I like about that is it's really not about numbers, but it's about blessing and encouraging and strengthening relationship with Christ with as many people as we can. So it's not about that significant 80 number. It's about saying, we want to have massive impact. And whether that's one person that goes and does it somewhere else, or whether they're coming to us and we're going to do it here on this campus, that's one thing I'm tremendously excited about. The next thing I'm excited about, you may notice another person, Miss Kimmy Illig. There's also a couple in the crowd here. We had Tyler Vanderwall and Timothy Ritz all share their hearts on this evening because this was their graduation celebration. And give a word of encouragement, of wisdom, of trials that they've faced throughout high school to encourage those who were going into it or through it to live different and passionately for the Lord in those circumstances. Watching students pour into students is an immense blessing as their pastor. And that next photo, we'll bring that one up, is this one right here. Excuse me. We did a series just before graduation called We Cry Out. And to see students take their faith serious. This week was the story of Elijah, where he essentially said, Lord, I need you to make yourself known in a powerful way and silence these false prophets, the 500 and some odd prophets of Baal, so that people would follow and not be confused by these other gods, but follow the one true God. And so you want to know what we did? We broke up into groups that night, and for the same reasons that people cried out in Scripture, we cried out as a youth ministry. God, I want you to reign supreme. I want people to know that their phones and their computers and their TVs and their music and their friends and their family are not God, but that you are. And we want that to reign supreme in our hearts and in our lives. And so we're living, as far as youth ministry is concerned, in exciting times. Exciting times. This first 6 months or 5.5 months has been a completely wild ride in youth ministry, but it's been exciting. We had over 120 students participate in the first ever Lake County Youth Conference, where 26 decisions to rededicate their life to the Lord or commit their life to the Lord for the first time take place. And that's the stuff that I get excited about. I want to create more opportunities for that. We had 80-plus students participate in our 40-day study called Flipped, where over 27 of them completed the whole process of fasting each day from something, praying each day, completing each devotion on the day, and inviting a friend to come to the conference with them. It was a steep task. And let me encourage you, if our junior high and high school students can do it, so can you. The beauty of it is we didn't do anything but break out the list of spiritual disciplines and incorporate them into our lives. And so adults, be challenged by the faithfulness of your students to live and walk in a similar manner. We hosted a golf tournament that helped us raise over $27,000 to send youth to summer camp. And we raised an additional support of over $17,000 to bridge the gap between what golf raised and what was needed. And then I'm here to tell you today that we have over 125 people signed up to go to summer camp. And that is exciting to me. Last year we took 76 people. And so to be at 125, I'm also here to give one last nervous plea to say that we created our budget off of 100 people, and we have surpassed that, which leaves us about $3,000 to $4,000 shy of really, truly financially sending all these kids to camp, and prayerfully consider if you could be part of bridging that gap for us this morning. If you want to do that, just cut a check right at the Grace Church, write summer camp in the memo, drop it in the box, get it to someone, and we can help bridge that gap there. But we're excited about what is to come. Tomorrow morning, we load vans and we leave. And it is exciting. I was talking with someone, and I go, I don't know what God is doing, but I'm excited to see where he's going. And I'm living, and I have been for about the last 3 weeks, in anxious anticipation of what God is going to do in the hearts of our students and some of our staff during this next week at summer camp. So I ask you to join us in that. So my vision, to create an environment where every student feels welcome. To challenge those who attend to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and to grow in their walk with him. And to encourage our students to have an active faith. What does that mean? A faith that says yes when God calls you to do something. And I thought, well, isn't this a great vision for Grace Church? And so why would I just spread it over youth? This is my vision for you too, adults, that we would create an environment where every adult feels welcome. That we would challenge those of you who attend to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and to grow daily in your walk with him. And that we would encourage you to have an active faith that says yes to God when he calls you to something. That is my vision, and yes, it is specifically for youth, but adults, I'm just as passionate about it for you as well. And so just as we did in our We Cry Out series, where I identified something to cry out for, I'm going to solicit your help this morning. I'm going to ask that you make friends with some people around you. You don't have to hold hands or touch each other. Don't get weird. And that you cry out to God for this, for our summer camp that starts tomorrow morning. Cry out for safety, for growth, for unity, for peace, for acceptance, and for love. And then beyond camp, that God would use the resources of this church to help us pursue Lake County Youth for Christ. A speaker I like to listen to his podcast, his name is Craig Groeschel, and he said this, if prayer isn't necessary to accomplish your vision, you're not thinking big enough. And so I'm soliciting your help because I'm thinking pretty big. And so I'm going to ask that you help me with that this morning. But before we break up into groups and do that, here's a verse, Psalm 27:7. It says, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. So I ask you, we're going to spend just maybe 3-4 minutes praying in groups in this room, that you cry out boldly with a vision so big that prayer is needed to accomplish it. Take 1 minute to break into groups, and we're going to do 3 or 4 minutes of just crying out to God on behalf of summer camp and reaching youth for Christ. Let's do it now. It was tough for the students too, but I had faith that you could do it. God, we come before you this morning and we beg for your blessing on this next week. Lord, you have brought the flock. Would you look after it well? God, would you bless everything from the minute details of travel, of permission slips, of small things like finances. And God, we ask your hand and your blessing over huge things like the hearts of your children. And we entrust them to you. Let us faithfully minister to those that you have put us in charge of. Let us be in one and walk with one and with your Spirit and have wisdom to guide us in the directions we would go, the conversations we would have, and the boldness to speak your truth into the life of our students. Lord, I pray your hand over our band as they travel to camp tomorrow, that you'd have your hand over our speaker, that his words would become yours as he speaks them, and that they would move powerfully in the lives and hearts of our students. And God, I pray that on Friday as we head home, that we would come home changed because of what you've done in the lives of our students. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. All right, grab a seat. Thanks for putting up with me. I know I don't do things like anyone else, so thanks for putting up with me. There we go. So today, Pastor Gary had given me the task to preach out of Proverbs 3, and if I was to literally preach through Proverbs 3, I would be up here for months. And so I want to encourage you to continue reading through your Proverbs every day on the day as Pastor Gary has instructed, but to specifically look at Proverbs 3 as an instruction to parents. And so it's convenient that it lands on a day such as Father's Day. But because I can't cover the whole thing in service, I've narrowed it down. We're going to be covering Proverbs 3 verses 1 through 8. And so let's read through those together. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and with man, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength in your bones. This is very rich. And so what I've done is tried to break it down and really put it into segments of what the heart of these eight verses is talking about. And so track with me. Toss everything out that you think you already got a good handle on and cling to something that you could learn and grow from this morning. The first thing I want to address that this passage addresses is keeping wisdom close. Keeping wisdom close. I don't think anyone walks around, maybe students do, but not adults, of course, thinking, I really wish I was foolish today. I don't think anyone addresses that. But in the same way, I don't know that many of us in the church or even in this life walk around and going, I really want to be wise today. How do I know this? Because I'm friends with many of you on Facebook. And I've seen some foolish rants maybe be addressed, some things that aren't really helpful at building up the body of Christ or really anyone come out of our mouths. And so I want to encourage you, as this passage does, to keep wisdom close. I want to make a statement here, and I want you to see if you could resonate with it at all. Do not simply rely on wisdom to get you out of the position wisdom would have kept you out of in the first place. Many of us live life, and we just kind of pow, 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 go, 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 and then we go, ah, I could really use some wisdom right now. And what we don't understand is if we simply did what these passages say, we kept wisdom close, and we walked in that wisdom, then we wouldn't need the get-out-of-jail-free card wisdom. We could have simply walked in it to begin with. And so I want to encourage you, church, walk in wisdom. How do you do that? You commit to doing it daily. You wake up and you start with wisdom. Freak thing that we do this wonderful words to live by thing in January, and here we are in June, in the same truths that I asked you to proclaim over your life, I'm asking you to walk in today. Walk in wisdom. Keep wisdom close. We live in a wisdom second society. Our society says, follow your heart. And then when it leads you somewhere you don't want to be, act wise. Friends, why don't we start where the world says to finish? Start by acting wisely, considering, what are my words doing? What are my actions saying? You guys notice how I flipped those there? What are my words doing and what are my actions saying? Understanding that both of those carry a great weight. And so I want to encourage you, church, to walk in wisdom. And some of you are like, well, how does that apply to my particular circumstance? And I'm here to tell you, I don't have a clue. Because I don't know your particular circumstance. But you know what wisdom dictates? It dictates that we sometimes bring other people into our circumstances. And that walking in wisdom may mean that you need to go and ask someone wise what they think. Because wisdom sometimes recognizes that you don't have the applied knowledge to apply to your situation, so you need to ask someone else who's walked that road before you. I want you to look around. I want you to identify people with gray hair. I've got some coming in, but you might want to ask someone else first. And I want you to walk in wisdom. That is a general rule of thumb, okay, people? Not always wisdom in the gray hair, but it says, Scripture says the gray hair is a crown of glory. And that has nothing to do with wisdom. But maybe you should ask someone who you perceive to be wiser than you how you might apply wisdom in your life in particular ways. I loved Corey's little message up here about the different applications of a father, but I want to encourage you dads this morning to hold wisdom close. When addressing your kids, this is a tough one for me, because my first instinct is, that was poor behavior, and it will be treated with discipline. Another speaker I listened to addresses that there's a difference between a mistake and disobedience, and that there should be a different response to both of those. Mistakes don't require punishment. Disobedience requires punishment. So I want to encourage you to walk in wisdom, dads. The scriptures say, don't forget it. Store up my commands in your heart. Don't let them leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep in your heart. Church, keep wisdom close. Next, understand the rewards and consequences of implementing or not implementing wisdom into your life. So the person whose heart wasn't captured by that keep wisdom close message, this one's for you. Because you need to have the logical, well-thought-out, written plan of rewards and consequences of not abiding and walking in wisdom. And so, here you go. Get your pen out. Some people are fear-motivated, and some people are reward-motivated. Look at the person next to you and see if you could identify which one they are. Okay, you have to know people to know whether they're reward or fear-motivated. But acknowledge this in people's lives. For me, if you told me, Paul, if you walk wisely, you'll get a cheeseburger. You know, that might be kind of motivating. But if you said, Paul, if you don't walk wisely, you'll get punched in the face. I go, hi, I want to walk wisely now. Right? Because I'm one of those fear-motivated people. And so Scripture oftentimes uses that word foolish. It says, the foolish people do this, and this is the outcome of that. And then it says, the wise person does this, and this is the outcome of that. So even Scripture addresses that some people are fear-motivated, and some people are reward-motivated. Recognize those in your life and how they are motivated. A speaker that I went to addressed it like this. He says, some people say, if we do this, we can pay for our kids' college. If we do this, we can go on this vacation. If we do this, then we can do this. That's the reward system. And he said, some people are fear-motivated. You need to say, if you don't do this, your kids won't go to college. If you don't do this, our family will be stuck in the house at a staycation. And if you don't do this, then, and he uses the example, he says, I want you to pick a politician that you absolutely hate, and I want you to write me 5 $100 checks and sign them. And every time you don't act wisely, I will send one of those checks to the politician that you hate. Because that's how you motivate a fear-motivated person. Rewards, many years and a satisfying life. Rewards for walking in wisdom, favor with man and with God. having earned a good reputation. Healing for your body and strength for your bones. This passage doesn't directly use the words foolish, but if you take the opposite of those rewards, you might get an idea of some of the consequences for foolishness, consequences for not walking in wisdom. Shorter, more stressful life with discontentment. Distrust by God and man, resulting in a poor reputation. An unhealthy body. Some people, they neglect the mental health aspect of wisdom and foolishness, don't they? And they don't understand why some of their mental health issues and their stress are fine there. And so they go, why am I so stressed out? I ask, why are you making such foolish decisions? Now, I'm not going to directly correlate those two in every aspect. There's mental health issues beyond that. But I want you to look at some of the stresses and some of the instabilities in your life, and I want you to relate them back and ask yourself, am I walking in wisdom or am I acting foolishly? Because if the rewards are a healthy body and strength in my bones, favor with God and a good reputation and many years that are declared as satisfying, then we, my friend, should walk in wisdom. So we have keeping wisdom close, understanding the rewards and consequences of implementing or not implementing wisdom into your life. And then now we move on to learning to fully trust God. I have a son, and he is wild. He is fearless. He goes, Dad, I hurt myself, but don't worry, I'm okay. And then he goes and he jumps off something or to something. And you look at him, like we go down to like the WIC office. And the kid looks like he just like played ping pong in a blackberry bush. Because he is so scraped up and bruised from living such an extreme lifestyle that this boy likes to live. And I'm so nervous for his future because of his decisions. But one of the things he does that we're trying to untrain, get out of his system, is the random jumping at Dad. And so here's what happens is I'll go in and he'll be like on top of a wood pile. Yesterday I was getting a haircut and he was hanging out on top of the wood pile. And I go and he goes, Dad! And jumps at me. He's like this high. And he just jumps towards me. The other day I was getting into my car and I usually let him play in the car while I'm cleaning it out or doing whatever. And we get in and I said, okay, it's time to go. And he goes, Dad! And just Supermans towards me. It is terrifying when you have a handful of stuff and your kid jumps at you. Absolutely terrifying. And he's training his younger brother to walk in the same way. And so, Lord, help the Millett family. Give us another year of celebrating Father's Day, Lord. But Heston understands what it means to fully trust. Because he knows that his dad, in every circumstances, will drop whatever is in his hands to catch him. Do you know that about your Heavenly Father? That he will drop whatever is in his hands to catch you and your stupid jumping. And not just in your stupid jumping, but the doing the calling of the Lord is sometimes going to require you to jump and to be caught by the Father. And I'm here to declare to you this morning that you have that good Father in your life who will catch you in your calling as you wisely pursue Him. And so here's my proclamation. It's not deep, and you won't find it anywhere in Scripture. Whatever you're doing today, do it with the confidence of a 4-year-old wearing a Batman shirt. Because there is confidence in a child like that that us adults need to possess at some point in our life. And I don't know that that's what God intended when He said to have a childlike faith. But it translates well in my life today because I've got a 3-year-old wearing a dinosaur shirt, rolling around, growling at me all day. Because there is confidence in our pursuit of a loving Father and obeying His will. His desire is not to see us fall. And that is not permission to be stupid. It's permission to wisely trust in God. One of the most beautiful proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You want your path directed, but you neglect to trust fully in God. Start at the beginning of the verse, because getting the outcome of the end starts with applying the beginning. Learn to fully trust God. Next, acknowledge God in your life. We as humans love to be acknowledged. We had graduations for this last month. It feels like most Fridays have been graduations. We've had awards nights where scholarships we were given. We had graduation here at the church. We had Awana Awards night. We had KCA Final Chapel. We had all these things. All for what? To acknowledge people and their accomplishments. You want to know one of the most under-acknowledged things is God and His presence and His movement and what He is doing. Because you want to know what happens when something happens that's good in the church? We all go, everyone look back and thank so-and-so. Everyone look back and thank so-and-so. Great job, so-and-so, on all your service. And I love that we praise people for their service, but acknowledge what God has done in the lives of students, of children, of adults. And give Him credit, because He's the one who can mold and shape the heart that none of us can. And we are simply servants to Him. God first, not last. The world says make every effort first, then rely on God when that doesn't work. I want to encourage you to seek and pursue God first in your life, acknowledging Him and giving Him credit for all the blessings you have in your life. I once had a pastor say this, imagine you live in a world where you deserve nothing and consider everything you have a blessing. Because guess what, folks? You are deserving of nothing, and everything you have is a blessing. And acknowledge God and thank Him for the blessings and the ways He's lavishly poured out those blessings upon your families, your life, and those that you love. Is God your last-ditch effort? Don't just acknowledge Him on Sunday. Maybe you're like me, and frantically in the morning as you're already late for work, you go running around the house looking for what? Your keys. Tough to get to work without keys. And so what do? You look everywhere. You're like me. It's like pants pockets from the day before. No. Heston's hiding spots. No. On the counter. No. In the laundry. No. Where are they? And then we go, okay, God, I've expired all of my options. Where are the keys? It's really a story of what we do with our entire lives. It's like, oh man, I got a flat tire. Oh man, I'm struggling. Oh man, this, that, the next. Let me try it on my own. Okay, God, I tried it on my own. Could you please help me out? Acknowledge God first. Don't make Him your last ditch effort. Do you pray before you're sick? Or do you only pray after a diagnosis? Church, be prayer warriors. Parents, I want you to start praying for your kids now. And I want you to pray for far-off things. Future spouses, wise decisions making in those teenage years, college, career, spiritual well-being. Pray for your son or daughter's salvation now, that God would work mightily and powerfully. Some of us wait till those moments of turmoil and go, God, please, do it before. Lift them up in prayer. Before I pray with Heston every night that I'm home, which is often, and it started off with just me praying and him listening, and then he would just say amen. But now that he's got more words than we know what to do with, he kind of repeats after me, and he'll say, thank you Jesus for this day, pray for mom, dad. And then it's like I forget something. He goes, trades, dad, trades. Don't forget Mr. Stan. Got to pray for Mr. Stan, God, as our neighbor. And for the lawnmower, God, don't forget the lawnmower. And so it's been, like, really cute to pray with him and help him understand that we pray for things that we care about. So if you don't care about something, don't pray for it. But if you do, add it to the list. Mr. Stan, the lawnmower. Pray for things that are important to you. Lift those up to God. Because when you pray to God, you want to know what you're doing? You're acknowledging His sovereignty. Neglecting to pray is neglecting the power that God has over your life and over your circumstances. And so acknowledge His sovereignty and pray now. Last thing, watch God work. It says He will direct your paths. You won't know what those paths are if you're not looking for Him. Watch God work. Look for His directions, His guidance, and His will playing out in your life. So many of us ask God for stuff, and then we get so distracted by everything that is going on that we don't even look for the answers to the questions that we asked. It'd be like saying, God, help me find my keys, and then going to get your bike ready. God, if you're asking God something specific, look for a specific answer, even if the answer is no. Then go get your bike ready. In Acts, the early church was looking for the moving of the Holy Spirit. They literally wandered from town to town saying, we haven't seen the Holy Spirit show up in 7 days, so we're going to wander around until we find it. Not a random wandering, a specific, purposeful wandering. Saying, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit. Why? So that I can align myself with it and that God would move and work powerfully. Friends, are you looking? Are you watching for the moving of the Holy Spirit so that you can align yourself with that will and God can work powerfully in and through you? Look for what God is doing in your life as you walk in wisdom and acknowledge Him with your life. What does He say? If you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before God. It's not just about our outward profession of faith. Sometimes it's about an outward identity and identifying the faith that exists in us, even when no one's watching. Saying, God, I know you're faithful. Some of the similar things that Corey mentioned earlier, Katie and I have dealt with, that infertility thing. And literally, I remember crying out to God and saying, God, if you give us no children, we will be at church tomorrow. But God, we would really like a child. And so I want to encourage you, watch God work and celebrate what He is doing in and among our church today. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You. Lord, humble our hearts, align ourselves with You. Lord, let us hold wisdom close. Let us understand the rewards and the consequences that come from walking or not walking in wisdom. Let us learn to fully trust You and put on our Batman t-shirts, Lord. Let us acknowledge You in our life and let us watch with this great anticipation of what You're going to do when we remain faithful to the calling You put on our lives. God, it is my prayer that this church does not walk out unchanged, but that we walk out people who are in more passionate pursuit of You than we've ever been in our entire lives, and that You keep us in that place. This is what we pray, Lord, in Your name. Amen. Thanks for coming this morning, guys. You are dismissed.